You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
The latest Harper government omnibus bill, C-45, was released last week. Finance Minister Jim Flaherty promised his 400-page bill would have no surprises. However, several measures are already causing quite a stir. One of the controversial items deals with the number of Canadian lakes and rivers that will be covered by the Navigable Waters Protection Act. The Wilderness Committee believes that these changes could have an enormous impact on our environment. Joe Foy is National Campaign Director for the Wilderness Committee, and he's joined me by phone to discuss the new omnibus bill. Hi, Joe, and welcome back to Red Eye.
Well, thanks for having me on again.
That's 400 pages. Have you seen what it feels like? I don't know. Thumped down on your desk?
Well, no. I mean, 400 and some odd pages is the size of a pretty big phone book. But what we have looked at is the changes to the Navigable Waters Act. And when added already to the changes this government has whipped through on bedrock environmental legislation like the Fisheries Act, this is very, very bad news.
Well, let's give Stephen Harper his day. What's the government rationale for their environmental changes in this bill?
Well, what they are saying is their changes to the Navigable Waters Act is don't worry. We're just making it easier for cottage owners to build little recreation decks over the water and for municipalities to build some minor municipal bridges. But that's not the case.
So what, just as an overview, what does this bill do with respect to the environment?
Well, it's very simply, it changes the name. It's now the it removes water from the Navigable Waters Act, and that should give you a little hint what's going on. It also removes pipelines from the purview of this act. You see, the Navigable Waters Act is a piece of legislation that goes back well over 100 years, and it essentially applied to any water you could float a boat on, and that's pretty much every piece of water in the country. Its original purpose was to make sure that you would be able to move everything from a big steamer up our larger rivers, lakes, and oceans, right the way down to canoes. What it became in present times, however, was a way for Canada, which is a federated state. We're all, divided up into various jurisdictions, various provinces and territories. It became a way for people to be, in whatever town and village you come from in this country, to be alerted by the federal government that somebody, some industry, was planning to alter your local waterways. And then, in many cases, to actually have a voice, because this act would trigger other legislation, such as the Environmental Assessment Act. What the government has done is it has changed what the act applies to. So even though a oil pipeline, for instance, may greatly alter your local river, it no longer applies under the act. And they've actually said the act only applies to the rivers and lakes and oceans that the federal government has listed. And they have listed 162 bodies of water across the country, including three oceans, 97 lakes and ponds, and 62 rivers and streams in the second largest nation on Earth.
Well, if we take those numbers, I mean, if I was looking at the Burnaby area, what percentage might I just incorporate in those figures in some local region? I mean, do we have any figures as to when it was comprehensive, what those numbers were?
Well, we don't. We know that the number of water bodies in Canada will be in the hundreds of thousands. I note that the little creek that I live next to, the Brunette River, is not on the list. There are many, many, many rivers and lakes that used to be on come under this act no longer come under this act. For instance, one issue we're working on here in British Columbia is we're fighting the new prosperity mine proposal on right beside Fish Lake. The Navigable Waters Act was one of the acts that triggered that environmental assessment. The creeks around Fish Lake were covered under it. Now they for future projects they no longer will be.
And in addition to the legislation, were there a kind of bureaucracy that actually did some monitoring to see that these legislative regulations were respected?
Well, monitoring has been declining, of course, across the province and across our nation. What the Act did was it gave people who cared a fighting chance. So across the country, especially on water cuts across all political views and sort of beliefs, and so you might belong to a canoe club in Manitoba or a fishing club in British Columbia, and what this Act did is it gave you a fighting chance to at least hear about a proposal to mess with your local river. And then that allowed organized Canadians who cared about their waterway to get involved. The removal of this regulation makes it easier for industry to move in and build something or divert your river or put an oil pipeline across it before you even know about it.
And you mentioned earlier that there was legislation that is related to this that previously has already been slashed. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, of course, probably the most important legislation, in environmental legislation in our country, is the Federal Fisheries Act, which has long made it illegal, or at least illegal without a permit, to damage a fish habitat, all fish habitat. Changes to the legislation now appear to change it from hurting fish habitat to hurting fisheries. So this government has said if there's not a commercial activity on a particular population of fish, it doesn't matter. And environmentally, that's a disaster for everyone, because you might have an endangered smaller population of fish in the headwaters. If industry is allowed to damage and wreck that all, you know, water runs downhill, so to speak, and it opens the gateway to some pretty nasty projects. We're seeing this with the private hydropower expansion that we've seen in British Columbia over the last few years that we've been fighting, in that companies are proposing to, you know, dam and divert whole sections of rivers with endangered populations of fish.
And so with this new legislation proposed as well, that would give them an even freer hand.
Well, it would, and we're seeing a double when it comes to the federal fisheries law. I mean, they've weakened the legislation, made it less likely to protect habitat. That's the first thing that's hit us this spring. And the second thing is the massive cutbacks in the various ministries, and in particularly fisheries. So not only do we have weakened legislation, but we have a government that is reorganizing, re-shrinking the amount of people that are actually watchdogging out on the creeks. And with proposed oil pipelines, with a plague of private hydropower projects, with open pit mine proposals like the Fish Lake proposal, this is very bad news indeed, and it shows that citizens really have to organize in this period of our country's history to protect our environment.
Can you elaborate a bit? You mentioned the pipelines a couple of times. Do you think this bill is has as one of its basic premises the promotion of the pipelines for which there's been such a mobilization of opposition?
Well, I do, but I think this our federal government is the gang that couldn't shoot straight, because it appears to me as if their plan to get their tar sands pipelines to the Pacific Ocean, they've come out in a number of ways: weakening environmental regulation, getting rid of the people that work for our various environmental ministries, federal, including the fisheries, and attempting to frighten environmental organizations by telling them they're going to pull their charitable status, those of them that have it. It's sort of a three-pronged thing. In governments, in the federal government's view, I think they thought it would make it easier to get their tar sands pipelines through. In fact, what it's done is it's made some of the largest demonstrations we've seen, and I think in British Columbia, in particularly, a consensus that cuts across all political views that these tar sands pipelines have to be stopped dead.
The waterways, you talked about some of the impact here in BC, and actually that's where you're concerned, and a lot of our listeners are, of course, concerned. I'm wondering if you can tell us anything about what's happening in other parts of Canada, given that this is national legislation, given that rivers and lakes and streams exist from shore to shore to shore. What's happening in terms of the fight back there?
Well, certainly we have an office in Manitoba. So in Manitoba, some of the discussions that go back and forth are is a big new power line project. One of the things that is removed from the purview of the Navigable Waters Act are power lines along with pipelines. So that would affect the health of the rivers there. In Manitoba, the lay of the land is different. It's flatter. A lot more people are able to use the rivers, huge areas of rivers, for canoeing. The changes in the Act mean that all-terrain vehicle bridges, which may be quite low and you might not be able to get past that, can now be built without federal review, and that can cause problems for people. And then, of course, there's unknown consequences. So every part of the province, depending on the industry that's in their area, and we're seeing the oil industry in particular more and more throughout the western provinces, and the lay of the land and their type of fisheries and how they use the rivers, will run up against this industry-friendly legislative change in different ways.
It's amazing how long and detailed is the construction, the process of construction of environmental standards, of observation and enforcement, of hiring people with capacity and dedication to do those things, and how quick destruction of such an accomplishment, how quick it can be destroyed.
Well, I've certainly heard from inside the various ministries of people that have worked there for some time that in the past, you know, as the fiscal fortunes of the country, you know, go up and down, you have seen, we've certainly seen times when ministries have been cut back. But in past times, it had seemed as if government were trying to reduce the cost while as best they could maintain the effectiveness of the ministry. This time around, when it comes to environment and fisheries, it seems that the government is trying to wreck them, go in with a sledgehammer, make them ineffective, open the door to some of the worst environmentally damaging industries that we have in our country. And that should concern everyone, no matter what part of the political spectrum you're on, should concern us all. This is something new.
If you had one or two things to suggest to us who are listening of how we could join in the protection of our water system, share them now, please.
Well, what I would say is, whether it's you or your uncle or your cousin or your aunt or your whoever that you're sitting down to at your next family gathering, is encourage everyone to join the and work with others in the group that they work with, whether it's your church group, whether it's your hunting and fishing group, whether it's your environmental organization. These are such deep impacts, such deep threats to our environment. We need to work with those that we like to work with to push back and to get back. I mean, the federal fisheries legislation, some of the protections that have been wiped out, we've had for generations, and we need to get them back. And so I say work with organized groups that you work with to do that.
Well, thanks. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, Joe, and best of luck for all of us in this fight.
One final thing. Mm-hmm. Thanks to everyone who demonstrated in the last little while against those oil pipelines. That was a great thing to see and a big morale booster, I think, for everyone to see it.
You're bang on. Thanks.
All righty.
I've been speaking with Joe Foy. He's National Campaign Director for the Wilderness Committee. And if you want to find out more about this issue, you can go to their website, which is wildernesscommittee.org.